You know, in one way, I'm a little bit sad because I've had so much fun going through the book of Acts. You know, and it says the Acts of the Apostles, but it's really the act of the church. The Acts of the church. It's our responsibility. And this is not limited. The Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the church are not limited to the stories that we've seen. I've been at this 11 weeks, 11 times. I've shared about these stories. And I'm not sure where I'm headed next in a couple of weeks, but we'll know when we get there. So the seven sons of Sceva, in the review from last week's message, they tried to cast out a demon without a relationship with Jesus, because the demons got up and said, well, Jesus I know and Paul I know, demons can speak, but who are you? So the demons jumped all over them guys and stripped them and beat on them, and they ran out bloody and naked. But we don't have that type of situation because we have the name of Jesus. We know Jesus. The third thing we looked at was the public confession of sin and burning of witchcraft material. I heard that both football teams were on the field yesterday praying together. Let it continue. Let it continue, Lord. Come against any demonic assault in the NCAA that says they can't do that. They have every right to do that any place, anywhere, anytime. Amen? So we'll come against that right now for full freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, you know, when it comes to demons, we got two things that can help us understand the demonic. Number one is what we call discernment. Everyone say discernment. You'll come across somebody or something or a situation, and God gives you discernment saying, you know, I think there's something not quite right here. That's usually called discernment. It's a spiritual matter. The second thing is obviously, because demonic is normally bizarre, okay? And so there's just some obvious things. Just a little tip there in case you run across some issues with demons. So we're going to go into another one. Everyone say another one. Acts chapter 20, verses 7 through 12. Now, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. We love that. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Did you pack your bags? We're going till midnight. That's what Paul was doing. And there were many lamps in the upper room where they gathered together. And in the window sat a certain young man, his name was Eutychus, if I pronounce that okay, who was sinking into a deep sleep. You know, it doesn't take me till midnight to do that. I can do that a little bit earlier in the evening. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell from the third story and was taken up dead. Everyone say, dead. This is not a movie. This was real life. He was dead. But, everyone say, but. If there's something not right, there's a but. But Paul. But God. How many times I preached that message one time, but God. Yeah. But Paul went down, fell on him. Interesting. I just don't think he was mamby-pamby about it. I think he flat out jumped on this guy and embraced him and said, excuse me, don't trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. He prophesied what needed to be. You see that? He didn't go, he's dead. He goes, his life is in him. He prophesied to him. That's what we need to do in our circumstances, is bring life to them. Prophesy to them. Prophesy to them. Now, when he had come up, he broke bread and he'd eaten, and he talked a long while, even till daybreak he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not just a little bit comforted, but a lot comforted. Amen? So, you know, these miracle healings come different ways. Who remembers in the scripture another time of someone laying on somebody to bring healing. Elijah, actually it was both Elijah and Elisha. They both laid on somebody. But what I loved about, it's a little bit down on the outline there. What I love about Elisha and the Shunammite woman's son in 2 Kings was, this is what it said. Body to body, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, and hands to hands. He literally got as much skin of his own possible on the Shunammite woman's son. I don't know, that just kind of impacted me thinking, but you know what? Not every resurrection from the dead is that way. We want to remember that. Look at all the different healings. Look at the woman, all she did, been bleeding for 12 or 14 years, whatever it was, just touch the hem of the tallit on Jesus, you know? And another time, the Roman centurion told Jesus, he said, hey, Bubba, you don't even come to my house. All you got to do is speak the word from a distance, and my servant will be healed. Come on, speak the word. Hallelujah. Yeah. Laying on hands of prayer. You know, there's so many different ways that there were miracle healings. You know, this way when Pauling about the Elijah, you know, and then Jesus with Jairus' daughter and the son of the widow, you know, Lazarus. What did Jesus do at the tomb of Lazarus? He didn't go and lay on him. He didn't go and touch him. What did he do? Hey, dude, get up. Right? That's what he did. We got to remember. And if it doesn't happen, well, then go to the next thing. And if it doesn't happen, go to the next thing. Just keep on believing. Don't quit. Whatever it takes. Amen? Hallelujah. And I love that. Yeah. Hallelujah. So let's go on to another one. Everyone say another one. Another one. This is the last chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 28. But actually, there's another book of Acts, and it's going on right now. We are the exemplification of the continuation of the book of Acts. Acts of the church. Acts of the church. 29 and on. And when they had escaped, let's look at this. Now when they had escaped, they found out they were in the island called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness. I'm not sure what unusual kindness is, but I think it's a positive thing. Unusual kindness. And they kindled a fire and made us welcome because the rain was falling because it was cold. Verse 3. And Paul had gathered together a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. A viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, imagine a big old fat snake hanging from his hand. And they said to one another, no doubt, this man is a murderer. Why? Because they believed in retribution of wrongdoing here. No doubt this man's a murderer whom, though he has escaped the sea, yet justice did not allow to live. Wow. But he shook the creature off in the fire and suffered no harm. And I'm telling you, church, you go, well, I'm probably not going to get bit by a snake. But you are. It's in a different form. And most of the time that form is negative words. Take this home with you today. Negative words are just like those snakes. They'll attach to you and they got poison and they'll destroy you. Because the devil comes to kill and steal and destroy. So negative words, negative confessions, unbelief, the spirit of unbelief is just like this snake biting on Paul. Holy cow, this is hot off the press. Take this home with you. This is the best thing you get today. Just remember those things. And I think we need to fine-tune our hearing a little bit to these things that are being said. You know, be cautious because what we hear goes where? It goes in us, right? So we have to be careful and wise about all that. However, they were expecting that Paul would swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after that, he looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, but they did. And they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And in that region, there was an estate of a leading citizen of the island whose name was Publius, and he received us and entertained us courteously for about 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius laid sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid hands on him, and he healed him. Verse 9, so when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. And the crowd thronged Jesus. Let me tell you, when this type of thing breaks out, the oxygen gets sucked out of the atmosphere around you. We were in India, and we prayed for a gal that got delivered from a demon, and all of a sudden the entire 150 people in the village come out, and they're all touching you. It's 100 degrees in the shade, and it's hot, and you're sweating, and you haven't had anything to drink for a while, and you're just running on the Holy Ghost power, and they come around you, and the oxygen just gets sucked out. And go, God, you got to help me get through this. Oxygen goes away. And that's what happened there. They all came out, and Paul brought great healing in that area. I love that. Wow. Oh. You know, just the different aspects of healing. Paul not touched by the venom of the snake, and then laying hands on people, the claws and all that. You know, and then once one gets it, the whole island gets it. And I don't know about you, that just rocks the boat, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Father, I just pray that in this book of Acts, Lord, as we've gone through this, that God, we would have a passion. We would just have a passion that would be relentless. With people on the phone, with the gas station attendant, with the people in the grocery store, with any business we go to, or anybody that we're on the phone with, Father, help us to have a burning passion to just love on them, to bless them, to share Jesus with them, Father, a greater anointing. Can I pray for that? Ask that question. If they say yes, there is faith right there. If you say, can I pray for that? Everyone say that with me. Can I pray for that? If you ask that question, there's faith if they say yes. And you got a wide and effectual and open door, as the scripture says. Can I pray for that? Yes. Well, then go for it. Don't make it long and squalling. Just get it done. Father, bring healing in Jesus' name. Bring restoration. Bring the answer to these prayers in Jesus' name. We just need to be about this business of the kingdom and releasing it in our midst. So, Father, I just pray that as we've gone through the book of Acts and wherever we're headed next, Lord, that you would just increase our faith and build our faith, Lord, and trust you for even more and better and greater things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Would you stand? Father, you picked us. You picked each one of us, from the littlest to the oldest. You picked us. And you planted us. And you put us where we're at. And sometimes, occasionally, we might scratch our heads and say, really? But you know what you're doing. And you know what you have done. And you know what you're going to do. So, Father, help us to be wise and discerning in our activities of life day to day. Lord, we know when we come across people that rub us wrong, it's for a reason. We learn forgiveness, but also, Father, we want to release people from their pains and their sufferings, from their offenses. So, Lord, thank you for picking us. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for giving us everything. Everyone say everything. He's given us everything to do the work of the kingdom. We do not fall short in any area. He's given us everything we need to do the work of the kingdom. So God, let us go forth from this house with everything that we need in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Have a great rest of the day. Thank you very much.